Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
So at the end of this last year, leading up to our candlelight service, we made a couple of important updates in the sanctuary. These screens up here, we removed the projector screens that had gotten old and faded, and it was hard to see the images on those screens. And so now we have these TVs that the image is much more crisp. And you can see it much easier. But of course, it took some work to get those TVs hung up there. And so leading up to the candlelight service for several days, Nicholas and Rachel Williams, they came up here, and they did a lot of the prep work to get the walls ready for the TVs to hang there. And then the day came for the TVs to be hung. And so I didn't help leading up to that, but on this day, I did get involved. And so Nick and I, we carried these 70-inch TVs up a ladder to hang them onto the wall. And one TV in particular, so that we could get it just right, we had to, we took it up and we took it down multiple times to make sure it was good. I didn't think much of this event other than I was glad that the TVs were up and all the people rejoiced, but I didn't think too much of this event until Saturday when I was brushing my teeth, and I'm standing there brushing my teeth doing this motion, and all of a sudden my back went out. And I thought, what in the world? I'm just brushing my teeth. Now, I've hung TVs before multiple times. In fact, when I was at First Baptist Watauga, we hung TVs throughout that building. So I had hung TVs multiple times. I've even hung them in my house. So this event, I didn't think too much of, but when I threw my back out that Saturday morning, as I was thinking back to hanging these TVs during the week, I thought, I'm not as young as I used to be. So last week, we launched into this new series titled, The Struggle is Real, and I said this last week, but I'll say it again. As we think about our vision for this year, this vision of next, where we're asking the question, where am I in my walk with the Lord, and what is my next step? Where you are right now may be right in the middle of a struggle. And you may think, man, the struggle is real. And so my desire throughout this series is to look at these very real life struggles and to provide some biblical answers for these struggles. And last week, we kicked things off by talking about the very real struggle of fear and anxiety, something that many of us, if not all of us, struggle with in this life. Today, we're going to talk about something that every single one of us will experience in this life, and that is the struggle of aging, or even as we think about the effects of aging on our bodies as we get older. And as we think about aging and those aches and pains that we endure, let me just say, the struggle is real. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Psalm chapter 71 this morning. Psalm chapter 71, the chapter is 24 verses in its entirety, so we're going to read all of this psalm this morning. And as you're turning there, I want to set this particular psalm up for you. This particular psalm is both a song and a prayer. And while this psalm is not directly attributed to any author in particular, it is widely believed that this psalm was written by David. Now, we don't know this for sure, but there are a couple of things that we do know as we look at this psalm. We know that the author of this psalm is someone who has lived a long life. In other words, they are someone who has experienced aging personally. And this is good news for us, because if we're going to learn about how we deal with aging and the struggle of aging, then we want to learn from someone who has experienced aging. We want to learn from their years of wisdom. But we also know, based on the language and the words that we see here in this psalm, that the author is someone who spent their life meditating on God's word. Because the words that we see used here in this psalm both reference and sometimes even quote directly several other psalms, including Psalm 15, 22, 31, 35, and Psalm 70. And so as we look at this, we can say this is someone who has spent their life allowing for the truth of God's word to get deep down into their hearts. They've spent their life studying God's word and hiding God's word in their heart. And if it's David, which it very well could be David because of all of these other psalms that David wrote that's quoted here, if it's David, then we recognize that David, not only is he praying this prayer here, not only is he singing this song, but the contents of this song, the contents of this prayer are filled with God's word. Which means that David didn't just write these psalms down. These weren't just passing thoughts that he had when he wrote these other psalms. These are words that he dwelt on, that came from the depths of his heart because he continued to study God's word and hide God's word in his heart throughout the course of his life. David, or this psalmist, didn't just turn to God in times of trouble. God's word was something that they valued. God's word was something that they turned to all throughout their life. And so as we think about the psalmist's prayer here being filled with God's word because God's word was something that they valued, I would ask you this morning, do you value God's word? Is God's word something that you daily turn to? Is God's word something that you are continually meditating on and hiding God's word in your heart? Do you value God's word? So much so that the content of your prayers would be filled with God's word. Do you value God's word? You know, as I think about studying God's word, this is what I've learned. The more we will study God's word, the more we will meditate on God's word and allow for God's word to get deep down into our hearts, the more the content of our actions, the content of our own words, the content of our attitudes, the more that we will begin to think and speak in terms of God's word. And this is really how it should be for the believer. God's word should shape us. God's word should shape us. It should shape our attitudes. God's word should shape our actions. God's word should shape the words out of our mouths. It should even shape the contents of our prayers. God's word should shape us, that we would look less and less like this world, and that we would look more and more like his word. I would say this is true for the psalmist here. The psalmist is clearly someone whose life has been shaped by God's word. Now, if this is David, then we know that David was far from perfect. David did not live a perfect life, but David was continually growing in God's word. He was continually growing in his walk with the Lord, being shaped by God's word as he hid God's word in his heart. And this is how it should be for us. Not that we are perfect, but that we're continually shaped by God's word. And so in our psalm, recognizing that he's aging, The psalmist turns to God in prayer, and it is God's word that comes out of his mouth. So with that in mind, let's read Psalm chapter 71, verses 1 through 24. It says, Lord, I seek refuge in you. Let me never be disgraced. In your justice, rescue and deliver me. Listen closely to me and save me. Be a rock of refuge for me where I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the power of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and oppressive. For you are my hope, Lord God, and my confidence from my youth. I have leaned on you from birth. You took me from my mother's womb. My praise is always about you. I am like a miraculous sign to many, and you are my strong refuge. My mouth is full of praise and honor to you all day long. Don't discard me in my old age. As my strength fails, do not abandon me. For my enemies talk about me, and those who spy on me plot together, saying, God has abandoned him, chase him and catch him, for there is no one to rescue him. God, do not be far from me. My God, hurry to help me. May my adversaries be disgraced and destroyed. May those who intend to harm me be covered with disgrace and humiliation. But I will hope continually and will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell about your righteousness and your salvation all day long, though I cannot sum them up. I come because of the mighty acts of the Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still proclaim your wondrous works. Even while I am old and gray, God, do not abandon me. While I proclaim your power to another generation, your strength to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches the heights, God. You who have done great things, God, who is like you? You caused me to experience many troubles and misfortunes, but you will revive me again. You will bring me up again, even from the depths of the earth. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. Therefore, I will praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing to you with a lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for you for joy when I sing praise to you, because you have redeemed me. Therefore, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness all day long, for those who intend to harm me will be disgraced and confounded. Now, as we look at this passage, we see that the psalmist is seeking refuge in the Lord. And we see that the psalmist is seeking refuge in the Lord for a couple of reasons. First, the psalmist is seeking refuge in the Lord from his enemies. Now, if the psalmist is David, then many scholars believe that David is writing this psalm in the time of Absalom's rebellion. Now, if that sounds unfamiliar to you, let me just give you a little recap on Absalom's rebellion. So Absalom is David's son. And as Absalom got older in his years, as he became an adult, he began to think that his father David made some pretty poor decisions as leader and as king. And so Absalom did the only logical thing. He led a rebellion and a coup against his father. And so as Absalom leads this rebellion and this coup, David is crying out to God. Now, this is certainly on a much larger scale, but even so, I think that there's something that we can relate to in this as we think about the challenges and the struggles of getting older and our children getting older and maybe even becoming adults. Because something happens as our children begin to get older. Regardless of how much older we might be than our children begin to think that they know better than we do. Now, I'm not throwing my own kids under the bus here, but I am throwing myself under the bus here. Because I remember when I was a teenager, I remember beginning to think that I knew better and I knew more than my parents did. Now, I may not have had that thought directly, I know more than my parents, but it was clear in the way that I acted at times, in the way that I spoke to my parents at times, it was clear that I thought that I knew better than my parents did. But as I have gotten older, not only have I gained some aches and pains, but I've also gained some wisdom in realizing that I did not know more than my parents when I was a teenager. I did not know better than my parents did when I was a teenager. And truth be told, I still do not know more than my parents. My parents still have years of wisdom on me. And so as we think about this dynamic that David had with his son Absalom, it could be that there are tensions in your home today. It could be that there are tensions with your children as they are getting older. Maybe they're still in your home, maybe they're adults and they're out of the home, but there's this tension between you and your kids. And if that's the case, then this is my encouragement to you today. Turn to God's Word and seek refuge in the Lord. Turn to God's Word and seek refuge in the Lord. This is what we see David doing here, or the psalmist is doing here. Turning to God's Word and seeking refuge in the Lord. The second thing that we see happening in this passage is that the psalmist is seeking refuge in the Lord due to his age. He is recognizing that he is growing older. In fact, this psalm is regarded as a psalm that is fitted for older disciples. In other words, it's fitted for disciples or followers of Christ who are later in their years. And so as we continue to look at this passage, there are some things that we should that we see that we should do if we are struggling with getting older. First, you should remember the one who has always been with you. Let's look at verses 5 and 6 again. It says, "For you are my hope, Lord God, my confidence from my youth. I have leaned on you from birth. You took me from my mother's womb." Remember the one who has always been with you. So the psalmist recognizes that God was with him in the womb, that God was with him at his birth, and that it was God who was with him even in his youth. In other words, from the very time that the psalmist was conceived to the time that he was born, and through even his younger years, he recognizes that God was with him right there taking care of him all along the way. And so if you would say that where you find yourself today is that you are struggling with the idea of getting older, and I don't care if you're 18 years old or 80 years old, if you are struggling with the idea of getting older, then I would encourage you, look for the ways that God was with you in your younger days. You know, as I think back to becoming an adult can be a scary thing for us, right? Because as we grow up, we're growing up under the watch care of our parents, maybe our grandparents at times. We're growing up under the watch care of a church family. And then as we become an adult, we have to move away. We move out of the watch care of our parents, maybe out of the watch care of our church. Maybe we move out of our community and we're in a new place altogether. And that can be a scary thing. I know when I was a kid, I used to tell my parents when I grew up, I was going to buy the house right next door to them so that I could still live with my parents even as an adult. Clearly, that did not work out for me, right? But it can be this scary thing to move out of the watch care of our parents. And then as we become an adult, and in my own life, there was a time where God called my family to move away from our parents, to move far away from our parents. And that can be scary as well. But when that time came, I thought back to how God took care of me and my family when I was a kid, when I was growing up. You see, when I was born, my dad was pastoring at First Baptist Church in La Vernia. I don't really remember that too much, being born. But not too long after that, we moved to Houston, and my dad pastored a church there for a time. And then we moved here to Stockdale. And we were here in Stockdale for a few years. And then from Stockdale, we moved to Rockport. That's where I graduated from high school. And then from Rockport, we moved up to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I look back at all of that, and I see how God was with us through all of those moves, how God took care of my family through all of that. And so when it came time for my family as an adult, for us to move away from our parents, to move to Fort Worth so that I could go to seminary, I was reminded how God took care of us in the past. And so I had a confidence that God was going to take care of us now. And then again, when we moved from Fort Worth to Stockdale, again, I knew God is taking care of us in the past. God's going to take care of us in this too. God's going to be with us in this as well. And this is exactly what the psalmist is recognizing here, as he recognizes that he's getting older, and as he recognizes that he's experiencing all the things that come with age, he also recognizes that God is the one who has been with him from the very beginning. God is the one who has been taking care of him from the very beginning, and God's going to continue to be with him. God's going to continue to take care of him now. And so that's my encouragement to you. Look for the ways that God was with you in your younger days, that you might have a confidence in the Lord today, that you might know that just as God took care of you in the past, God's going to continue to take care of you even now. So if you're struggling with the idea of aging, remember the one who has always been with you. Second, rely on the one who never grows weak. Let's look at verse 9 again. It says, "Don't discard me in my old age. As my strength fails, don't abandon me." Rely on the one who never grows weak. Here's the reality. Our strength wanes as we get older. Now, for some, it may wane more than others, but that's just the reality that as we get older, we are not as strong as we were in our younger days. Our strength wanes as we get older. And the psalmist recognizes this, that as he's getting older, his strength is failing. And so what does he do? He turns to the Lord. Recognizing that his own strength is failing, he turns to the Lord. So, you're probably familiar with kryptonite, that green rock or green substance that makes Superman weak. But what you may not know about kryptonite is that it actually was not introduced first in the comic books. First, it was actually introduced in 1943 in the radio show, The Adventures of Superman. And the reason why kryptonite was created was not so much to make Superman weak, but so that the voice actor playing Superman could have some time off, so that he didn't have to be on every single episode of the radio show. And so kryptonite was actually created to give the voice actor rest. It was 6 years later when it was introduced in the comic books. But as we think about aging, could it be that the Lord allows us to age not simply so that we will grow weaker, but so that we will be able to rest? And more importantly, that we would rest in Him. Because as we grow weak, we are able to rely on His strength. And so as the psalmist gets older, as he grows weaker, he calls out to the Lord. Why? Because he knows that even though his strength might fail, the Lord's strength never fails. Even when we get older, even when our bodies begin to fail us, the Lord's strength never fails. And so when we can't rely on our own strength, we can rely on the Lord. So if you're struggling with the idea of aging, remember the one who has always been with you. Rely on the one who never grows weak. Finally, this morning, reach the ones who are coming behind you. Let's look at verse 18 again. It says, "Even while I am old and gray, God, do not abandon me. While I proclaim your power to another generation, your strength to all who are to come." Again, the psalmist recognizes his age. He even references the color of his hair. He says that he's old and gray. But while he continues to ask the Lord not to abandon him, I want you to notice that he realizes that his mission is not over. Instead, what we see here is that he is continuing to proclaim God's greatness and God's power to the younger generations. So I want you to hear me this morning. Our mission doesn't end with our age. Our mission ends when God calls us home. Let me say that again. Our mission doesn't end with our age. Our mission ends when God calls us home. Now, the activities within our mission may change over the years. They may not change. We may continue doing the same thing within our mission until the Lord calls us home. My mind goes to TC and Molly Rao, who began teaching children's Sunday school in their younger years, and they taught children's Sunday school class all the way up until the Lord called them home. They continued to faithfully proclaim God's greatness to younger generations, continuing that mission on. But we also know sometimes the activities of the mission does change. We're not always able to continue doing the exact same things. But even if we're not able to continue doing the exact same things, that doesn't mean that we're not able to still pour into the younger generation. I'm reminded of an older couple that was here when I was a child by the name of Bill and Marie Sutton. That name may ring a bell for some of you. My mom, she sang in the choir, which at that time, the choir sat up on stage during the sermon, and my dad, of course, was up here preaching. And so on Sunday mornings, my sister and I, we would sit with Bill and Marie Sutton, and I would hug Marie Sutton's neck, and she would give me a stick of Big Red gum. And then during the sermon, I would sit next to Bill, and I would put my head on his arm, and I would go to sleep. Believe it or not, I'm able to stay awake during the sermons now. But even though I may have been sleeping during the sermons, something important was still happening because I was here. And I was learning faithfulness, learning the importance of being in church. And that happened right there with Bill and Marie Sutton. And So sometimes the activity of the mission might change, but the mission overall, the mission to walk in obedience to the Lord and to raise up future generations, that mission continues. Our mission doesn't end with age. Our mission ends when God calls us home. The psalmist realizes this. And so if you're here today and you would say that you recognize that you are getting older, let me encourage you. Your mission isn't finished. The Lord is not finished with you yet. Rather, the Lord is just continuing to give you wisdom. And we are to use that wisdom to pour into future generations that they might come to know the Lord as well. So that when that time comes, when the Lord does call us home and our mission is finally over, there's now a new generation continuing that mission on, continuing to serve the Lord, continuing to proclaim the greatness of our God. So what do we do if we're struggling with our aging? Remember the one who's always been with you, rely on the one who never grows weak, and reach the ones who are coming behind you. The reality is that aging is something that we all struggle with. The struggle is real for that. But another thing that we all struggle with is sin. And the struggle is real for that as well. And apart from Christ, we cannot overcome the struggle of our sin on our own. Rather, apart from Christ, we are separated from God in our sins. But God, in His great love for us, sent Jesus Christ into this world to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. He rose to life 3 days later, and Scripture tells us anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. Jesus defeated the struggle of sin for us, that we might be forgiven, that we might be redeemed. And today, if you need to call upon the name of Jesus that you might be saved, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing, this is going to be your opportunity to respond to whatever it is that God is calling you to do this morning. And if that's you today, that you would say, I've never called upon the name of Jesus, but today I recognize that I need to and I'm ready to, then as we sing this song, I would encourage you, step out of your seat. Come and join me down here. Let's talk. Let's pray. Today can be the day of your salvation, and what a great day that it will be. But maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already, but I've never taken that next step of baptism, something that God calls every single born-again believer to do. If you need to make your faith public in that way, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you, that we might make that commitment for baptism together. Now maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've already been baptized by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know I need to make this my church home, to become a member of this church body, to connect my life with and be on mission with this church right here in Stockdale. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. But whatever it is that God is calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond to the Lord obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.